Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, they looking good. And you see the lady that found out she's standing for the spot of that. Yeah.
Jesus, draw me ever near as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passing, and I'll follow, though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing.
For this day,
We give you praise, all the honor and glory. We thank you. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you for your divine protection tonight. Thank you for being here in your presence, oh God. Thank you for keeping us all wherever we are right now, Lord, as we are traveling or even home or wherever we're, even with our family or wherever we are. We thank you for your presence right now in Jesus' name. Thank you as you lead us and guide us in all truth tonight as we get ready to get into your word. And we thank you for the encouragement that will come in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord God, for your grace that's sufficient for you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for performing your word, our signs and wonders following. And we thank you in Jesus' name as we thank you, we honor your privilege and honor just to be in your presence tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for your spirit of joy and peace, Lord God, as you rule in our heart and our brain with us, Jesus. We thank you right now for change happening, even in atmosphere, that we should be encouraged, we should be empowered. Whatever it is that we may need in this hour, Lord God, we thank you in advance for it right now in Jesus' name. So, Lord, do what you desire to do. Do it the way you want to do it, God, as we allow you to have recourse in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for the hope that comes from your word. Thank you for the peace, the joy, everything that we have, Lord God, in you. As you build us up, as you strengthen us in this hour, that we should have that which so you say. So, Lord, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for your word tonight. Jesus, increase that decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Jesus, increase in our life. Lord, as you use us, lead us and guide us, that we will speak the truth of your word, and we shall stand thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the Eagles of Flight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree. With Prophet Celine Dupree, I thank God for each and every one that's on tonight. And we thank God for this opportunity to be in his presence tonight. Thank God for each and every one of you as well. We're here. We pray that your heart is ready tonight to get this with the Lord as we get into the Word of God. We want the Lord to have the free course, the preeminence. We want him to have the free way. We want him to have total control tonight in where we go and how we go, all for his name's sake. Amen. As we are encouraged by his presence tonight, we thank you for just being in the place and allowing the Lord to minister and do whatever his heart desires to do as he builds us up for such a time as this. Well, we're going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. I'm going to pick up and pick up in a few verses here. Start at verse 1. The Lord gave these instructions to Moses. The order the Israelites to turn back, be and camp by Pi-Hahiroth, between the Midol and the sea. Camp them along the shore across the Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory. Therefore, through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done letting all these Israelite slaves get away? They asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. he took with him 600 Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with his commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left his fist raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses, chariots, charioteers, and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore of Pi-Hereth, across the Bel Zephron. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It is better to be slaves in Egypt than corpse in the wilderness.'" But Moses told the people, "Do not be afraid. Just stand still and watch God, the Lord, rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again." I'm going to read that last verse in the King James Version. I just read the NLT version, excuse me. I'm going to read it now in the King James Version, the last two verses. Is not this the word that we did tell you, verse 12, in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may see the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you see have seen today, you will not see them again, no more, forever." Amen. And I want to go to Psalm 46. And we will go 46. And we will go to verse 10. Verse 8. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, which with desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spears in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen and will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. All right. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about be still and know. Be still and know. Some of us could be going through some different things and facing some different matters in life that it may feel like you being swallowed up. You may feel you being smothered. You may feel like you don't know which way to go. It feels like you don't know how you're going to make it. You got your bills laid out, and you're looking at what you got coming in, and you got situations going on with the family members, the children, your aunts, uncles, dad, mom, dad. You have a lot of things could be pressing right now. You don't know which way you're going to go. You don't know what you're going to do. I mean, one thing you see is what you see, and what you see are the facts. These are the facts of life right now that you're facing. These facts are saying point blank, your money going out is one thing, your money coming in is another. They're not matching. They're not making sense. You know, your family acting crazy. You don't know which way you're going or coming and going. You don't know if you're going to quit or retire or run. You don't know what you're going to do. Life is pressing. Situations are pressing. But I come to tell you tonight, be still and know. Still in his presence and know that he's going to do exactly what he's going to do. Be still and know. That's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to go back to the Exodus. I'm going to pick up at probably verse 3. Pharaoh, I'm going to read, start reading from the NLT version. A few verses I'll switch over to the King James, but mainly the NLT version. And just in case if there's anyone who have any question, comment, or the prayer, you can call in the number 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. If you have a question, comment, prayer request, any of those above. So, amen. Starting in verse 3, then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. So here's God beginning to share a plan with Moses to give him some instructions. And he's going to tell him, he says, they are trapped in the wilderness. So he tried to throw Pharaoh off because he know Pharaoh's heart. He know Pharaoh is not going to just let things go that easily. So here it is. After the last thing, the last plague that took place where it took the firstborn, that really hurt Pharaoh. So that's when he said, get told to go and everything. He was really dealing with that pain of losing his son. So, but at this point here, God is giving him instruction as far as Moses of what to do with the children of Israel. And so, verse 4, in the King James says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them and will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his foes. The Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. I'm gonna read that one in the NLT version. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his army. See, there was a purpose. We start by saying, we all have a purpose in life. There's a reason why God made us and made us to be who we are. In this case, even Pharaoh had a purpose. All that he did throughout his life, all led up to this place we're here right now, to be used for Moses, for not necessarily for Moses, but used against Moses, to be opposition against Moses, but then to bring glory to God. And so here God says, and there's something very key, he says, I have planned this. This was never an accident. It wasn't something that just happened. God planned this. He knew this was before time was going to happen when it did happen. He knew in order for the children of Israel to be free, this had to go on like this. This is the plan that God had. The enemy always have a plot, but God always have a plan. Okay, so he goes on to say, I planned this in order to display my glory. Everything God does in our life is always to display his glory. You do good, being a blessing to someone, it displays God's glory. You be a help to someone in some of the simple things, it displays God's glory. You know, you saying, you forgiving someone instead of walking around in hatred or being mean, it displays God's glory. God always has a plan. This plan for your life is always to bring him glory. Let's face it. Let's receive that. Your whole purpose for being on this earth still after being saved is to bring God his glory. It's never about you, never about us. And no matter what happens in our life, that's why it could be, you could be in the midst of something going on and God puts you in another assignment just like that. Because it's always about his glory. For people to see and know who God is. So he goes on to say here, he displayed my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. So everyone on Pharaoh's side, there was part of that purpose of being displayed, God's glory. He goes on to say, after this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. God also did to prove a point that he is the Lord. He wanted not only to display his power, but sure, he wanted to also reign in his glory. He also wanted them to know who he really is. Not just by, you know, saying by name, but by manifestation, evidence, his power being displayed. They will know without a shadow of a doubt who the Lord really is. When they call a name, they could be able to identify about who he is in their life. Okay, he goes on to say, so the Israelites there as they were told. God knew that Pharaoh was going to change his heart. He knew that he was going to change his mind. He knew that he was going to come after. When the word was reached, the king of Egypt, that the Egyptians had fled, Pharaoh and his officers, probably his officials, changed their minds. What have we done? Letting all these Israelite slaves get away? They asked. See, Pharaoh started thinking about himself. He started thinking about his slaves, you know, about these people who he had in bondage. See, now that means his boys would have to get some, his boys would have to work. He didn't have all this free hand from the slaves to where they could be doing all kind of stuff. And then you think about, he's probably thinking of how fast stuff get done, how much stuff get done, just his thoughts, his plans, his visions that he wanted to get done, all this stuff to bring him glory. See, Pharaoh did everything that would bring attention to him. And we may have some pharaohs in our lives. It may be some people. It may be some things that try to be exalted above your God. And this is why we have to protect our heart and guard our heart and know that no matter what kind of pharaoh comes in your life, it will not get God's glory from you. You got to be willing and know that no matter how pharaoh comes at you, you're not going to give him God's glory. You're not going to worship that thing. You're not going to exalt it above where it needs to be. Glory to God. As we go further, he says, when word reached the king of Egypt that Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind. They said, what have we done? Let all these Israelite slaves get away. They asked, so Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. So he got upset. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with his commander. So here it is, 600 of his best chariots. For this occasion, Pharaoh used 600 of his best because he was determined to get those people back. The enemy is so determined to get to you, he's willing to use whatever he has to do to get to you. He's willing to come at you several different ways, several different times, you know, when you least expect him to come after you in order to get his stuff. If anyone need to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and press 1, and we'll get you in the speaker bar, excuse me. Amen. But yes, the enemy was just that shrewd. He was just that determined to get to Moses. I've said before, and I'll say it again, the enemy will wipe out thousands, a whole block, just to get to one you. If your soul mattered that much to the kingdom of God and that opposed to the kingdom of darkness, he will take a block or blocks to get after you. Whatever he has to do, he will try and do that. The word, the Lord, verse 8, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he chased after the people of Israel who had left with fists raised in defiance. They left mad. They left teed off. They're going to go get their slaves. They were not trying to hear letting other slaves go, because that's work they have to do now. See, as long as they have slaves, that's stuff that they don't have to do. But now all the slaves are gone. Now they have to work for it. They wasn't trying to hear that. Oh, no. That was part of their motivation. They wanted to get those slaves back. Amen. All right, so as you go further, the Egyptians chased after them with all forces in Pharaoh's army, in his horses and chariots, with his charioteers and his troops. Egypt caught up with the people of Israel, so they were camped beside the shore of Pehareth, across the Bel Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up in panic when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord. Now here it is. They're on the run. They're in the wilderness over here, and all of a sudden they see a long line across of Egyptians. They see the Egyptians were straight coming after them, and they begin to panic. They begin to worry. They begin to fret. The funny thing is, if the Lord brought them there, wasn't he good enough to keep them? Sometimes you look at your situation, and you know that you pray, you know that God is real, but for some reason you just cannot wrap around your head that this thing too shall pass. Sometimes it gets us where we want to, or it gets us where it wants to, and it causes us to begin to doubt. And the true essence of life, you have to know how to be still and know. Not think, not hope, but you have to know that he is God. Be still and know. Those are the times to where your faith is mostly challenged, and you really have nothing else to depend on. You really can't depend on anyone else to bring you through. You have to stand your ground to the end. There are times you're going to be facing challenges to where it's going to be all or nothing. Either you stand or you fall. And this is why we have to really understand this gospel. As we preach this gospel, if we live this gospel, it's going to require truth in your inward parts. Oh, yes, the Lord says where he will require truth in our inward parts. That means he needs us to be real and really truly embrace this thing, because if not, we're going to get consumed. Amen. So it's very important here for us to understand that the Lord is working on our behalf. We just have to trust him and allow him to be God in our lives. See, we can't be ourselves and be God at the same time. We have to make up our mind. Are we going to trust the Lord? Are we going to trust God? Or are we trying to do something different? We trying to do it our way. So this is another thing. So as we go further, he goes on to say, verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses, chariots, and the Pharaoh and his footmen, well, his horsemen, and his army, overtook them in camping by the sea, besides Pehareth, before Bel Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So here we see they were afraid. They were so afraid, they cried out to the Lord. Amen. You see, the thing is, it wouldn't be so bad if we have a relationship with God. But when we don't have a relationship with God where we need to be, now we go to a 50-50 chance he may answer, he may not. See, and it's not because of God not loving you, but the thing of, see, we don't wait until the storm comes to prepare for the storm. You don't wait till you're in the heart of the storm to prepare for the storm. Well, in this case here, we don't wait till the last minute to find out, you know, something that could be detrimental. We prepare ourselves for the storm. We go ahead and look at our most convenient possibilities, doing this thing, that thing. And so as God prepares us for the greater stuff that he wants to do, these things are necessary for us to go through. So as he's preparing them, does he already know? He knew, Pharaoh's not going to listen. He's not going to do it. He knew it. Okay, verse 10 says, so Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, looked up in panic when they saw that the Egyptians were overtaking them. He cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here, to die in the wilderness? Were there enough graves in Egypt? For what have you done to this? I mean, to us. Why did you make us leave Egypt? So, a lot of times, out of fear, panic and fear, we gotta be careful, because sometimes we, out of panic and fear, we begin to say some crazy stuff. We begin to ask all kind of crazy questions, and we look at all kind of different ways. But the bottom line is, if there's an opportunity, the enemy will take it. See, regardless if we know all God's plan for our life, we just need to know we can trust him. If we can maintain that place of trust in God, no matter what the enemy brings to you, you know you'll be okay. We have to be that determined to stand our ground. So let's talk a little bit of real talk here. So regardless of what the enemy may try to tell you, no matter what the enemy may try to get you to think or believe because of your current situation, no matter how hopeless it may look, even may feel, we have to know, be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that the same God that started is the same God that's going to finish the work that he's done in you. You got to know that regardless of how the enemy wants you to believe what he may display before you, that's not the end of the story. Glory to God. The things that you see are temporary, but the things that you don't see, that's permanent. And we got to know that regardless of what's being displayed right now, this is not the final answer. This is not the final word from God. See, we have to know who we're dealing with. The enemy is he likes to suggest all kinds of things to try and make us believe what we believe in, what we naturally see. The enemy will always try and point to you to believe to the natural standpoint instead of seeing to the spirit. Glory to God. God is always trying to get us to see beyond the veil. He's always trying to get us to see beyond what's being presented. He's always trying to get us to believe past what we feel. Where am I going at with this? The enemy is always going to try and point you to the flesh. He's going to always try to get you to believe in what you naturally can see. He's going to try and get you to believe in what you can do is what your natural man can do. He's always going to try to get you to believe you know stronger than what you are in your natural. He's always going to get you to believe that you can't love past with your broken heart. He was trying to get you to believe that you can't forgive someone after they hurt you. He's going to try to get you to believe that they emotionally, that you will never be stable again. He's going to get you to believe that you will never find love again. He wants you to believe that no one will ever love you again. He's going to try and get you to believe and think that you're not able to do exceeding abundantly above what God asks or think. He said he asks or think according to the power that worketh in you. He's going to always get you to believe in trusting in yourself, not trusting in God. He's always going to try and get you to believe the flesh and your soul is your emotions. He'll always try and get you away from the spirit. Because, see, the more you get into God, the more you will believe by the Spirit rather than believing in your flesh. Glory to God. If anyone needs to call in, the number 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. wants to express wanting to get to the cue box if you need prayer. As a matter of fact, if you see yourself in some of this right now, call in for prayer. I want you to call it. Call it for prayer. If the enemy is always trying to play with your mind to get you to believe that you can go no further, or you can do nothing beyond what your flesh said that you can do. You have had some failures in your life. You've had some unsuccessful ventures. Matter of fact, you had some unsuccessful relationships, even marriages that fail. But he will get you to believe that no one can love you the way you ought to be loved. He will try to get you to believe that no one can care about you. Matter of fact, no one likes you. He'll try to get you to believe all of that. And he will get you to believe that you emotionally, you can't love nobody. He'll try to get you to believe that you are not even able to have patience anymore. Your patience is done. You can't handle it. He was trying to get you to believe that you cannot be stable. You have, matter of fact, he's trying to get you to believe that you have to stay on medication for the rest of your life, whatever area of medication. Matter of fact, he wants you to believe that you cannot lose that weight. He's trying to get you to believe that you cannot have good success. Hallelujah. He's going to try and get you to believe all these manner of things, but what do you believe? Call it now. Call it now. Get some prayer. What you believe. Amen. He is always, the enemy is always going to try to point to the flesh. And this is why we fail, because we go based off the flesh, the emotions, the natural things, instead of believing by the spirit of what God is saying. See, yes, the facts may be you may have failed, you may have flunked the test, you may have made some mistakes, you've made a literal mess of some things. That may be the truth, that may be the facts, that may be facts. But the truth is, you can do all things through Christ. So the truth of the whole matter is that, matter of fact, he said, a righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets back up. See, you cannot stay stuck in the natural, because he will get you to be limited. See, the natural is limited, subject to the things of this world, subject to the natural order of this world, or the flesh is subject to what the world wants to do, or how the world operates. But see, by the Spirit is where you overcome. The Spirit is how you break boundaries and go above and beyond what you can ask or think. And then the Spirit is where he calls you to excel greater than what you ever can imagine or think, even for what it looks like. He calls you to believe past what you see. He calls you to love past what you feel. He calls you to walk beyond what you even can ask or even think. By your Spirit, not the flesh. The enemy is always trying to get you to go to the flesh, to believe what the flesh may say or what your flesh may can do, or your emotions or your soul. So as we trust in the Lord, He is always trying to point us toward the Spirit. Believe the Spirit, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, what the Spirit of God inside of you is able to do. Amen. So he's always trying to get us to go to that place. Amen. So let's go back to the scripture. Amen. All right, so he also goes on to say, team. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, fear not. First of all, we cannot walk in faith by walking in fear, by allowing fear to have root, by allowing fear to be in operation. We cannot walk by faith the way we ought to be. It short circuits your faith, because if you allow fear to rise up and fear grip hold of you, it's going to be hard to make a move when fear has you. So stop fearing what can happen. Thank you, Jesus. Stop fearing what can happen. Stop fearing what can happen. Stop fearing your former mistakes. Stop fearing what the enemy has been trying to say to you. See, the enemy will always try to say all kinds of stuff to you, get a bunch of ideas of you not doing what God wants you to do in your head. He's always been trying to get you to believe a seed of a lie so you can breed, or so you can bring forth manifest failure. See, he's always trying to tell you about failing so you can receive being a failure. He's also trying to tell you that you won't be able to do, so you never do. It's a lot of mind working to the enemy. That's why the soul has to be renewed according to the word. because the mind, will, and emotions is makes up the soul. This is why we have to renew our mind according to the word. Begin to see what God is saying. We have to see by what God is saying. Do what he is saying and operate and do by what he said you can do. Speak according to how he said that you should speak. Act according to his, the way he said you should act. See, when we do it God's way, we do it in lean on the Spirit, we become more spiritual, we become more accessible to the Spirit. And see, we, being as being that we are naturally spiritual beings, you are a tripartite being, you're spirit, that you possess soul, you live in the body. But because we live in this natural body, the enemy will get you to try to live by the natural laws. I can't get away from that. He's going to try to always coach you and to make you believe that you're limited. My God, my God. But we serve an unlimited God, though. When we serve by the Spirit, when we live by the Spirit, move by the Spirit, there's nothing that God cannot do. He's always trying to get you to stay by the flesh. Glory to God. If anyone needs prayer this time, this the opportune time, come forth, get prayer, amen. Just you need prayer, you need encouragement, whatever the case may be, this is the time now. It's a good time to call in and get that if you need that right now. Glory to God.
Reverend, let me get them on live. Okay, you live. 470.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, everything that Apostle was saying about what he was teaching about just then, it really brought me back. By the way, my name is Aaron, Mr. Aaron, and I'm with Eagles Wings. But isn't that just God? God set things up. You know, when you look at how Israel came into Egypt, you know, Joseph's brothers set a trap for him. They sold him into slavery, and now here it is once again. You know, God is turning things around again to where, you know, the Egyptians served other gods. And that's why God hardened Pharaoh's heart, because he wanted to know that he wanted to let Egypt know and Pharaoh know that he is the one and only God. Amen. It's funny how God will use our enemies, those who will try to tear us down and try to hurt us, and he'll what Joseph told his brothers. What you meant for evil, God turns it around for good. Amen. And so many times, things like that have happened, but the word of God is true. Amen. And God's mercy endure forever. You know, he said in his word, even in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work for the good of those who love God. So when the enemy try to tear you down, when the enemy tries to devour you, when the enemy tries to work, call you something, call you out to be something that you're not, God is able to turn it around and cause you to be who he called you to be. Amen. So we do have to stay on the course and keep our eyes and our belief in God 100%. Amen. Because there's no one like him. There's no one like him. Amen.
Hello. Are you there, Pastor? Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Is Apostle still on?
As far as I know.
Okay.
No, he got dropped. Hold it. Okay, he got dropped. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay,
amen.
You back.
All right. Praise God. How can we help you tonight? Glory, glory to God.
Amen, Apostle. This is Minister Aaron, and I was just commenting on what you were saying, piggybacking on how God hardened Pharaoh's heart so mm-hmm. that Egypt would know before it was all over that Egypt would know that he was God. Also, yes. God, you know, when we look at how Israel came into Egypt anyway, mm-hmm. we're looking at Joseph and his brothers, how they his brothers, you know, sold him into slavery, mm-hmm. and wound up, you know, Joseph wound up being a workman for God in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And saving the whole land and bringing Israel into Egypt, amen. And when Joseph's brothers, after Israel died, Joseph's brothers thought that Joseph was going to have them killed for what they did to him and what mm-hmm. Joseph told them what you did to me, you meant for bad, but God turned it for the good, you know.
Yes.
And it goes right along with Romans 8:28, mm-hmm. and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. So anytime
yeah.
the enemy enemy is always going to seek to destroy you. You know, I didn't mention it earlier. You know, but I do want to say this. It's, it go right along with Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm.
When you know he say that. That God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So all of those who sought for your destruction, God has turned it around.
Yeah.
You know, and now they see how God has been blessing you, and they saw they like, oh my God, God is serving this man right here in front of him, and you know, you I remember what I did to him. I remember what I said about him. I remember how I hurt him. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thank God for how he turned, how he can, he's a brilliant tacticianist. That's what I'm trying to say. When it comes to everything but warfare. Amen. He know how to confuse the enemy. And have him to fall in his own trap. Amen. So we have to stay with our mind, keep our mind stayed on God. We have to keep our faith, knowing that God is able to fix any situation, to turn everything around, and to bring you out with glory, honoring with straight glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, and that reminds me too. Just saying, Isaiah 26:3-4, I will keep you in perfect peace. I'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me, because he trusted in the Lord. See, we cannot get to that place of peace without shifting our mind. We got to shift our mind and see. We have to see beyond what is presented. For us to get to that place where we need to be in Christ, or we have to see past what was being presented to get to that place where we need to see from God. Because if we're so stuck on what we see, what we hear, what we feel like, we'll never move. We'll never move.
That's right.
If we always go by, if we go by what we see as the last call, look, we will never win nothing. But in those times when we had to shift and shake ourselves and realize, okay, God, you said in your word, and we go back to reminding ourselves of the word, that's the time that we begin to get our faith and go beyond what we feel like. How many times in a week did we feel like giving up early? We feel like, man, sometimes we go, you know, I'm reminded of that movie Facing the Giants. Amen. That movie is a Christian movie called Facing the Giants. Yes, and it was a very good movie. And with the football team as a coach, he was, you know, he was a believer, and they were doing bad. They were sucking. They were having the worst records. But he really got to the point where he realized, you know what? It's not about winning or losing. It's about building men and women, men of character, of good, you know, some good men. And he talked about a great example one day. There was one guy who was one of the head of the team. This is why having a strong leader is very important. Also, too, not only is just a strong leader, but also, too, good, strong, supporting cast. It's very important. He told the young man that, you know, people, you know, these guys need you. They need your example. They need you to follow your example, what you do. And he told him to grab one of the guys and put him on his back, and he began to crawl. And he was crawling. And then, coach, my legs burn, my arms burn, I'm about to give up. You know, he's saying one thing, but you notice his body never stopped. He was, even though he wanted to quit in his mind, because, see, sometimes in this walk, we're going to have to go past what our mind says. Sometimes in this walk, we're going to go past what our body says. Sometimes in this walk, we're going to go past what people say, what the past people's expectation of us. Sometimes we have to go past what we feel like. Sometimes we have to go past what even statistics says what's going to happen. Sometimes we have to go past what even, look, our mama say that we can do and our daddy believe that we can do. We have to go past what people may say, go past the projections of the enemy, and go to what God says that we can do. This is where people begin to speculate and try to put you in a category, oh, you're going to be this and you're going to be that. But then even sometimes we have to go deeper than that, dig deeper than ourselves, trust the spirit man inside of us, and trust God. And see, this is, like I say, God, the enemy will always try to point you to believe what your flesh will say or your flesh only can do, not what your spirit man is saying, but not what the spirit of God is telling you that you can do. And so he began to press, push, crawl, and before you know it, he's making some ground, and the coaches, and this is why having a good godly, having a good pastor, a good leader is important, who would push you. He began to get in his face, tell him, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Don't give up with me now. Don't quit on me now. You will quit on me? No, I won't quit on you, coach. But he had to really get in his face and really fire him up and let him realize you're not doing it just for you. You be other people depending on you to stand strong. Other people have been, other people are depending on you not to give up. See, even the Bible tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering, waiting, watching you to perform the works of God, do what God has called you to do. There's people who listen, oh my God, there's people who died for you that you may live. There's people who prayed for you before you were ever born for your success. My Jesus.
Amen.
If you go to the archives of prayers, some grandmothers and grandfathers and some great-great-granduncles have prayed for you before you even got here, to pray that they had made the way for you, that when you got here, you get here and you do what God wants you to do, and you have great success. This is why some things, no matter how you try to get away from it, you can't get away, because prayers have been lifted up for you. The destiny has already been laid for you. Only thing you have to do is come and get in that vein and follow God. And when you choose to follow God, watch and see things begin to happen, things begin to open up, things begin to get fired up. Because why? Because God's plan for your life is even greater. Because
Amen.
Of the prayers of the righteous that avail much. Those cloud of witnesses, those people who are watching you from heaven, watching you, cheering you on, who know, they know that they just smell, they just see the greatness of God in you. And know all you got to do, trust the Lord. Be still and know that he is God. And the more we begin to stand still and know that he is God, the more we begin to discover who God is in us. Man, my God. So praise God.
Amen.
God bless you. We say amen. Hallelujah. God is able. He's ready to perform that word through us. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So as we go a little further, he goes on to say, verse 14, and Moses said to his people, fear not, stand still. Now here he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. See, and salvation is deliverance, peace, there's joy in salvation. All these things that you need is in God's salvation. When God steps in the situation, He don't just quietly step in, but he step in and get the job done. We have to understand that God that we serve is just waiting for us to trust him, waiting for us to let him in. And, you know, God is almost, God is like that tag team partner that you may have in your corner. See, once you get to a certain point in the fight, you got to reach out and tag them. And sometimes, even if you're on the mat, you're still trying to reach to your partner. Sometimes you could be, your back could be on the ropes, pinned, but you're still trying to reach for your partner. And only you have to do, if I could just get to my prayer closet, if I could just go in, if I could just open up a little bit more and reach, if I could just press a little bit harder, and you can tag God. Now, he's all fresh to come in. He's ready to wipe up the fight. And I like what this verse says. It says, the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. See, God is ready to show himself strong in your life. He's ready to show up in your situation where it looks like you by the end, he want to begin. Just when that partner is about to give up for the last count, he tags his partner. The other one, his partner comes in, and he begins to go to work on that opposition. And so much to this point, he comes right back and takes the fight in the control, and he ends up winning. That's how God is waiting for us to tag him in. Let me get in this. Don't try to do it yourself. I'm here for you. I'm your partner. Let me get in.
Amen. Amen.
And when we make that connection with God, that's why that connection is very important. When we make that connection with God, now he can step in and do his specialty. Do his specialty move. Watch this. They thought she had him. Look, Jesus was down for the count. He was down for the count to the very point that he was even dead. To the point that it was already over. But in this situation, but God, he rose. After three, the count went from one day, he's down. 2 day, he's down. By the third count, he's up again. And this time, he got up. He got up with all power. He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And so now when he came up with power, he defeated death. Just when the devil was about to celebrate because he thought he had him. He put the finishing move on Jesus. Nailed him to the cross. And almost was about to break his leg. He put the finishing move on Jesus. But that wasn't it. That wasn't it. See, even in the time when it looks like you're defeated, even at times when it looks like you have nothing else to do, even when it looks like you have no more fight in you, just think about Jesus.
Amen.
The devil did his finishing move on Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He rose.
He rose. Amen.
There's a point of time the Bible says, and I believe that's in First Peter chapter 5, he said that you will... 1 Peter chapter 5, let me read that for a second. I know God is trying to set us up here. Oh, gosh. He says in chapter 5, he goes on to say, Humble thyself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, it's that due time thing that we got to deal with. It's that due time. We got to hold on to that due time. See, in that due time, see, that's the time that we have to wait. That we have to do this time. Come on now. You got to do this time until you be exalted. Do that time until you break out of this next place you're in. See, he said, in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, you're not the only one going through. This is why we're not fighting just for ourselves.
We're fighting and standing for one another. Because that's why your testimony could be, yeah, I went through that last week, and I'm going through this week. Well, you made it through last week. How did you get over? What did you do? And as you begin to share your testimony with me, I'm fired up now. So you know what? I can do this, man, and I'm going through it. And next thing, there's someone else who needs that same thing. That verse 10 says, but the God of all grace who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while. See, that's that due time. See, after we have suffered a little while, we've gone through for a while. See, in that time of going through is a time of proving that God has to do within you. Be still and know. See, begin to just let God do what he has to do. And in the meantime, you sharpen your faith. You begin to feast on his word. He said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You keep that word circling through your heart and build up your strength while you wait. See, while you wait is very important. It's more important than your finishing and even the starting. It's in that middle time, that mid-time of while you wait. What are you doing while you wait? Because what are you doing while you wait will determine how soon and how you come out of this thing. Glory to God. He says,
amen.
Suffered a while. Amen. He said, after you suffered a while, make you perfect. See, he's perfecting you. In this time of going through, in this time of standing still, he's perfecting you, he's making you, he's breaking you, he's molding you, he's shaping you, he's taking you through that process while you are waiting, while you're in that due time, while you're in that time of perfection, that perfecting time, he's strengthening you. Glory to God. Then he goes on to say, establish you, settle you. Some of us, we're so unestablished, we just move around every time the ground. Establish, settle you, plant you, get you settled. You can't be, if you have no base, and even in karate, kung fu, a lot of things, if you're not grounded, if you don't have a base to fight from, there's no strength.
And that's
right. It means, because if you're trying to be out of your position, if you're not standing right, your punches will be ineffective.
Yeah,
if your stance
right.
is not right. You can't throw with the best. You're not throwing off in the best position that you ought to be in. The power won't be there. You can't connect with power unless you're standing right.
That's right.
Oh, my God. The last part, amen. He says, strengthen, once again, build you up, strengthen you, and settle you. Sometimes the enemy will try. They're trying to see when the enemy will try to do will cause anything to steal your peace. If he can take your peace, he can unsettle you.
That's right.
This is why we have to know. He says, stand still and see my salvation. When you see God, as you stand still, you position yourself, now you can see right because you're not so moved by everything that's going on that the enemy wants you to see, but you're settled in the fact that you know what you have to see because you're paying attention to God and you're taking your eyes off the situation and putting your eyes on him. Like Peter walking on water, he had to take his eyes off everything that's going on around, how the storm and the weather, the rain, all that stuff, and focus on Jesus. As he focused on Jesus, he was walking the water. He was listening. As he was focused on Jesus, he was doing the impossible. As we are focused on Jesus, we will do and see the impossible. See, that's where the spirit versus the flesh. See, when we're connected in the spirit, we can do the impossible.
Amen.
But when we caught up in the flesh, the natural things, now we begin to sway and begin to sink because now we're moved by everything, every wind of doctrine, everything that kind of pushes from here, pushes there, because once again, we're not settled and we're not stable. But
amen.
Once we plan out of ourselves, get planted. Now we have strength on high. So glory to God. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
So position yourself so you can begin to move in power. Position yourself in God. Goes back to the fighting again. I mean, Mr. Aaron can tell. He used to be in the martial arts, and know he can tell you. If you don't, that's why your stance is important. You have to position yourself, and even your mindset has to be important.
Amen.
Your mind is all crossed, but you can't focus. You can't do nothing. You might as well sit down.
That's right. That's right. Apostle, I would like to add. God does have his plan, And he will allow the enemy to test you. And when the enemy tries to lay in wait, and I spoke to you about a week or so ago, Apostle, about the dream that I had when God said, don't be afraid of the unknown. Don't be afraid of those secret places. You know, and it's funny when we think about Jesus, Jesus knew what he was about to go through. And it grieved him, you know, to the point where he was in the garden. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, you know. And Jesus, you know, is the Son of God. So just imagine us. It's good that sometimes, you know, it's good that the enemy will hide himself in secret and wait for you, you know, because if you saw what someone was planning for you, if you saw the enemy up there, you wouldn't go when God needs you to go. God have you walking that way for a reason. And so when the enemy try to hide himself from you, to lie in wait for you, when you get there, then the Spirit of God will show up and protect you, and show even your enemies that I am the Lord God Almighty. Amen. You know, so don't be afraid to go. You know, if we saw hundreds of guys down, you know, in the path, and they was all waiting there for our hurt, if God tells you to go, go anyway. Amen. Yes. And let him show up and show out. And when you're talking about balance, your faith being your balance, you know, I'm gonna touch on what you had said about martial arts. You know, if a martial artist tried to punch and break a cement block with brute strength, he would break his hands. He would crush his bones. From his hand to his to his forearm, he would crush it.
Wow!
But if his balance is right, I'm going somewhere here now. If his balance is right, his breathing is right. When he makes his move, there will be a quickness that brings about power, because the power comes from the ground up.
Oh,
and when
my
you
God.
Hit that target, the whole target will shatter. Well,
Jesus.
this is the way that God is working with us. Everything works together. Amen. I'm doing a study on spiritual weapons. Amen. And when it comes to courage, when it comes to courage, prayer. Prayer, praise, obedience, joy, truth, humility, patience. Amen. Faith. When all these things right here get together, there comes a certain, man will know that he's a man, and he'll stand up and be just that. Here, no matter what he's facing against, he's going to stand with all assurity, with all faith, that knowing that, hey, as long as I got God before me, I feel good. He'll have that courage in his heart to be able to make that move. Amen. And this God needs us. God is grooming us right now to go into the places, to go and do the things that haven't been done because of fear and being lackadaisical, or just people not being serious about God and about the work of God. Amen.
And I'm telling you, I mean, my God, we have to come back to that, because I tell you what, there's so much I can do with that. That's Lord have mercy. I'm going to meditate on that one, and maybe on next week we have to get together and tag team on that thing. Because, you, matter of fact, you know what? And I can almost say this: join us on next week, and we're going to talk about being positioned for power. That's
amen.
That's one. Position of power. Join Minister Aaron and I next week. We're going to talk about being position of power. Because, man, it's a lot. Look, that's a smokers boy. I could rock and run with that. But we're gonna, I know time is up. Oh, cut. Time is already left the building. But, amen. But we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that. But the next week, we're going to talk about being positioned for power. Amen. You know, and not about power that you can rule the world, no, power to make the difference in the kingdom. Into the earth,
amen.
You know, really going forth, bringing forth change. So we're gonna talk about that next week, being positioned for power, and we're gonna go forth into that. You have a good time with that one. We're gonna bring all the martial arts into that, and really, you know, kind of show you from those natural standards, but it is spiritual grounding. You know, we're gonna work it. Trust me, it's gonna be worth the time. Join us on next week. If there's anyone right now who needs prayer for salvation. We would just ask you to pray this prayer with us. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I give my heart to you. Lord, I surrender all. I ask you to wash away my sins. I thank you that your son Jesus died for me and he rose. I believe and receive him as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, to my life. Change me. I believe now that I've been saved by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. For someone who needs to rededicate your life to the Lord, Father, forgive me for going astray. I surrender all to you, Lord. I put the control back in your hands, and I surrender to you. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for restoring me back into right fellowship as I take my place in the kingdom. Thank you for bringing change now. I surrender all. I open myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for restoring me. Amen. So, once again, God bless you all. Join us on next week. Next Sunday, we'll be on talking about being positioned for power. Amen. So, we're talking about rat shackling and rolling the devil and let him know that you're not going to just sit there and just take whatever he want to throw. But we're going to go forth. But tonight, remember, be still and know that he's God. Be still and see his salvation. Hear and see and really feel what God is saying tonight. He wants you to know that he's right there with you the whole separate way. Your dependency on him is going to be life. It's just life. It's just life, you know. And even his salvation. You see his salvation. You got to be in faith. You can't be in fear. But you got to know that God is able. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. And thank you, Mr. Aaron. And God bless you all. Have a great night.
Amen. God bless you all.
Bless you.
in my mind.